We're here with Jack Sasville from Hardwood Ski and Bike, and the big announcement today that Jack is going to retire. You know, the legendary Hardwood Hills has just got such a storied history in skiing and mountain biking. The Pan Am Games were held there recently, and Jack has been at the resort for amateur. How many years? How long have you been there, Jack?
Well, I've been at Hardwood since 1995. It was the first time I started working there, but we bought it in 2008, so it's been 8 years since then.
Right, so there was a transition because the Viney started Hardwood Hills way back, and then you came in, you were there before, and then, of course, the transition 2008. And so tell us a little bit about how you came to the decision to retire and make that announcement today.
Well, I was really never anybody that wanted to work until they died. I really do enjoy playing, and so my mother years ago retired on her 65th birthday, and I thought that was a pretty cool idea, so that's what I decided to do. When we bought Hardwood in 2008, and then when we knew that we were getting the Pan Am Games in 2015, I actually thought about retiring after the Pan Am Games, but that was a little bit too soon for me personally, and also I wanted to give the business and the organization the opportunity to go through a good succession plan, and probably for 2015, it's going to take another year before we get somebody in place.
Right. So that is a kind of a neat situation where it is your birthday. I remember on the news announcement, I didn't realize that your mom had done that too. So there's a family tradition going on there of sorts. And there you go. So it's going to be at least a few more months before you actually do say goodbye, or so to speak. So when the decision hit you and then you decided that it was going to be time, and you look back at your career and you look back, I mean, you've been involved with the sports, I don't know how many years. So why don't you give us a little bit of a snapshot of when you got involved and what sort of, you know, I know you're also a golf pro. I know that we don't know much about that side of your legacy here, but tell us a little bit about the story of Jack Sasville so readers can get a picture of you.
Well, you're right, I was a golf pro, and I grew up in the golf business and turned pro when I was 19. And when I was 23 or 24 in 1974, I was looking actually for a winter job. I was a golf pro in Saskatoon. I was looking for something to do in the winter, and these guys, I heard about these guys that opened up this cross-country ski store called Fresh Air Experience in Saskatoon in the fall of 1974. And I thought that was a pretty cool thing. So I went in there, and I asked them if I bought some skis from them. I'd been running, and I'd been doing other physical activity. And I went in the next week, and I said, man, I love this cross-country skiing. I've been skiing every day. And they said, really? How would you like to teach for us? I said, well, I don't know anything about teaching. They said, well, the lessons start on Saturday. Come an hour early, and we'll sort something out. And then I started teaching skiing. And that I ended up moving to Winnipeg in the golf business, took a job with Fresh Air in the winter there. And then I started coaching with the Cross Country Ski Association of Manitoba, and they hired me full-time in 1977 to be the full-time coach. And then in 1979, I was hired by the national team to coach the national team, which I did until 1992. When 92 was finished, after the Olympics in 1992, we basically were all reassigned. In other words, we weren't rehired after the Olympics, the whole staff. And I was looking for something to do with the rest of my life, so I remember that I'd been in the golf business, and it was something else I'd been trained, so I went back to the golf business, became a golf professional again, and was doing that for 6 months in Canmore, and also coaching the Canmore Nordic Ski Club. And I did that for a couple of years, and then in 1995 at the World Championships in Thunder Bay, Janet Gates, who was working for Hardwood Hills, and Dave Viney at the time approached me about perhaps coming to Hardwood to coach at Hardwood. So in September of 1995, I moved from Canmore to this area. I was, again, still working 6 months in each. I was working 6 months for Hardwood in the wintertime and working in the golf business in the summer. And then in 1998, I got the opportunity to work full-time in the golf business. But I continued to coach at Hardwood Ski and Bike all the way through until 2008, until we bought the business. And then I started mentoring Mark Doble and now Ron Howden with the team. As I ran the resort, there was no way I could get away in the wintertime to do the travel that's needed for coaching. In a nutshell, it's my coaching career.
There you go. Wow, that is quite a neat story. So it all started with golf, and are you still active in the golf community? I guess you still are.
Yeah, I'm still a golf professional, and in fact, interestingly enough, as a golf professional, once you put in 25 years as a golf professional, you can get retired status or life status, and that actually happens for me at the end of this summer as well. So congruent to retiring from hardwood and working and running hardwood, I can also retire as a golf professional, and that's kind of like a free golf for life card that I get after that thing.
Okay, all right. So there are some fringe benefits from hitting 65 and reaching this point, eh?
Yeah.
So when you came to hardwood the first time, I guess that was back in 95, I think you said, and then so from there you've kind of had a trajectory. And how much because hardwood has always been, I guess, the ski in the winter and the bike in the summer. How much cycling did you have in your background, out of curiosity?
Well, I hadn't done much cycling. I had done cycling for training for skiing. I had done some mountain biking and had owned a mountain bike since 1985. But I really hadn't done a lot in the biking business. And that's why when I first came to hardwood, I was still looking to stay in the golf business in the summertime. And because I didn't really have the same history as I did in the ski business. And
sure.
Initially, when I was hired at hardwood, I was hired as the programs manager. I was running all of the various ski programs, as well as starting up a ski team. There wasn't a hardwood or a team hardwood before that, and it took us a couple of years to get that off the ground. So in the summertime, when I went back to the golf business, I didn't do much with the skiers. I met with them a little bit in the summertime. It really wasn't a full-time program, and I mountain biked a little bit. I certainly love to road bike and have done quite a bit over the last 8 or 10 years at hardwood. But still, my first love and my first passion is cross-country skiing.
For sure. But, obviously the biking is a big part of the business there. And naturally, we did see you on a bike. And I think one of the pictures we had up there, you were at the doing some cyclocross, too. So you've obviously...
Thanks for the picture, Ben. You couldn't get one where I was actually riding well. You had to wait for one that I was going over the handlebars.
Well, we did try, and we do have some nice shots, so they'll be up there with this interview. But for the announcement of your retirement, that was the best we could find. So one of your finer moments in a way. Through your skiing, and I know that another facet of your career is working for CBC. I know we did talk about that a few times, and one of the pictures we had up there was at, I believe, at Canmore. You had the old microphone on, and Pam Doyle got a picture of you. So tell us a little bit about how that side of your sort of business situation evolved.
Well, in the late 80s and early 90s, when I was coaching the team, we always went down to, we would go to Spring Series races in the United States at the end of the season, and every once in a while I would pick up the microphone and be the race announcer for these Spring Series races, and it was kind of fun. And then in 1992, Dave Dyer, who's been kind of my benefactor when it comes to announcing, talked to CTV, and they hired me as the analyst, the color analyst, to a show that was being put together with the Jeep was sponsoring for the Canadian Championships in Vancouver. So I did that show and then didn't do anything with announcing until 1997, when once again Dave Dyer put my name forward. CBC was looking for an analyst for the 1998 Olympics in Nagano. He put my name forward. I did a screen test by doing the 1997 World Championships on CBC. Did a pretty good job. They hired me for 98, and since then I've done every Olympics with either CBC or in 2010 with a consortium with CTV, and it's been a great run. I really enjoy doing that kind of stuff. Doing the analyst and doing the play-by-play with cross-country and biathlon has really been an awful lot of fun. I've got to know much more about the television business and about the people in TV, and I really do enjoy my cameos when I go there.
Yeah, no, I've listened to you, and it's great. I guess you know Peter Graves as well. He does a lot of that stuff, and he's of course he writes for Ski Tracks, the other side of our operation. So you've been doing that for quite a while. It seems to come to you naturally.
Well, I'm not sure how natural it is. Actually, Peter Graves is somebody that I've modeled myself a little bit at. after at the beginning because he was already doing work in that area, and I thought he was doing a really good job. He did the Olympics in 1988 in Calgary, and I listened to him there, and he did some other races that I've been to, so I always thought that Peter did a great job as an announcer, and I kind of did a little S&M with Peter and stole and modified some of the stuff that he did. But it's very interesting because the first person that I worked with was Scott Russell, who continues to be the main person with CBC.
Sure.
And he was really good for me because he taught me both overtly and covertly how to handle myself behind a microphone. And one of the things that he taught me was that we were really just having a conversation, him and I. And so during that conversation, I was pointing out to him the things that I knew about how people were doing things and why they were doing it. Well, he did the what, when, and where. And we would just have these conversations. And if he saw something that he didn't understand, he'd turn around and ask me a question. And then I would answer the question or I would point it out. And it really, and I can tell you that Scott Russell is amazing in writing scripts and putting together all those openings and closings and all those things. He was a journalist before he was on TV, and I have a lot of respect for him. He really did teach me an awful lot about how to do it. And I would say of all the guys that I've worked with and the people that I've worked with, he's still at the top of the ladder for me.
Yeah, sure. He's a very talented announcer and broadcaster, and it's great. He does so much, and he's got such a wide range with so many sports and the way he can handle it all. One of the questions
that's the big thing that really impresses me about those guys is their ability to go from sport to sport to sport.
Yep.
And so I always use the golf analogy. When I started in Nagano, I was about a 12 handicap, and I've gotten myself closer to zero and closer to scratch now. But those guys are, like Scott, are just real pros, and it's really, really fun to work with people who are so good at what they do.
Yeah, sure. They help you see how to evolve and progress and as you were saying, become mentors in a way to help you move up the ladder. One of the questions I had is, does the sports, for cross-country skiing and for cycling, but some of the names can be very tough. So how much practice do you do before you get on air to get those names right?
I actually do quite a bit of practice. I've made it my goal to try to pronounce the names the way that the athletes would pronounce their names.
Mm-hmm.
So the way their mom would pronounce their names or their dad would pronounce their names. I cringe every time I hear somebody who's pronouncing names and anglicizing them and doing it wrong and doing it incorrectly. It makes the hair on the back of my neck go up. So I try. It's very, very hard to do it right. I talk to people who are native speakers of that language. For instance, in Torino, one of our associate directors spoke Russian, and we went to the Russian journalists and asked them how they say all the Russian names. And we went to the Polish journalists and said, how do you say these names in Polish? So we say them correctly and then try to phonetically do it correctly.
Well, it's always been impressive when you see announcers that can do it well and do it correctly. And, you know, one of the sort of situations that, in print, Czesław Lukasiewicz. I remember when Susan Bianchi, my assistant, she was so proud that she knew how to spell his name no matter any time it came up after doing it so many times, but similar type of situation. So now that you're sort of the announcement's out and you're sort of winding down and yet still involved with Hardwood, but I think I saw recently there was a trip you took with your wife Carol, and you were just in Europe, I think in Germany. I can't remember exactly, but what are some of the things that you want to do with your time when you are sort of in that retirement situation?
Well, one of the first things I want to do is to go back to what I've always wanted, always loved to do, and that's coaching cross-country skiing. You know, since we left the national team in 1992, coaching cross-country skiing is all I've ever really wanted to do since I found it in my early 20s. But unfortunately, since 92, there really wasn't any jobs available that I could pay the bills with. They just weren't enough high-paying jobs, and so everything else I've done since then has been something to do to put money on the table, to put food on the table, but really skiing is what I really want to do. So I've talked to Ron Howden and Team Hardwood, and I still run a bit of a master's program for Hardwood. So we're going to morph that master's cross country ski racing program into a bit of a marathon skiing program. I'm going to also work with some of the older senior athletes and help Ron in any way I can on trips, or if he's away, I'll help coach the kids when they're home, or vice versa. So I'm going to go back to coaching cross-country skiing, on at least on a part-time basis, and I'm really looking forward to doing that. At the same time, I'm actually going to do some ski racing myself. I've not been able to do that for a long, long time, so I plan to do some of the marathon races that we're going to go to, and I'm going to do some riding, and I'm going to play some golf, and I'm going to do all the household chores my wife tells me to do.
There you go. That sounds like a really busy time for you still coming up. But the coaching of skiing sounds great, and I know that good coaches are always hard to find. And of course, you've got the background, no question. Tell us a little bit about your feelings about Ski Tour Canada coming up soon, and the whole Nordic ski world coming here. It must be exciting for you to see that coming to Canada.
Well, I think it's a huge opportunity for cross-country skiing in Canada to get some results that will help the team in cross-country Canada to get the exposure that they need in order to get the funding that they need to keep the great results that we've had over the last 10 or 15 years going. You know, at the moment, there's really been sort of a drop in funding on from Own the Podium. There's been a drop in funding from sponsors and corporations, and with some decent results, there's a chance to walk into the office of some marketing directors and say, look, this is what we can do, and this is what we can give you, and this is the exposure that we have. At the same time, the fact that the races are in Canada means that there's more than just four men and two women in the race. So a lot of these up-and-coming under 23 skiers and skiers who haven't had a lot of opportunity to get international experience are going to get that,
sure.
And they're going to get it at home, and it's going to, I think, and I hope it will spur them to stay in the sport, keep going, keep trying. And the third level, all of the younger kids who have the opportunity to see the Canadians and the best in the world, maybe that will give them the impetus to say, geez, I really like that sport. I listened to an interview with Petter Norda, and they were in Drammen in Norway, and he was talking about when he was a kid and the racers would come to his hometown, and he would get a chance to talk to the best in the world like Bjørn Dahle and ask them what they did for training at their age and how they should do this and how they should do that. He said it was invaluable in him moving forward as a cross-country ski racer, and I'm hoping that a lot of the kids in the various locations will have the same opportunity to see and chat and talk and come in contact with the best cross-country ski racers in the world. It's really tough here in Canada for kids to do that. They have a lot of contacts. The hockey kids have a lot of contacts with hockey players, but the cross-country ski racers don't have the contact with the best cross-country ski racers in the world. They're heroes to keep them going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I do remember that interview with Petter Northug and hearing him say that, and no question, everything you said about the possibility of it inspiring more athletes to get involved. I know that we were talking as well about the fact that there's a new Canadian kids have been on the World Cup. The first relay, the women's relay team that hasn't competed in a long time. So it's great to see those young kids up there racing. And I'm sure that's part of your feeling about wanting to coach as well.
Well, yeah, there is no substitute for European experience, and we just saw that this weekend at the under-23s and the World Juniors. You know, these kids go over there, and it's the first time they've raced internationally all year since a year ago last year, and they're going up against kids who are racing internationally every weekend whether they're racing at home in Norway or in Sweden or in Finland. They're the equivalent of international races, and our kids just don't have the experience. And so, like Jen Jackson, whom I've spent a little time with, she goes over there, and all her eggs are in that basket, and the week before she gets there, she's sick. So she gets two races, and now she's coming home, and she's going to try to get ready for the Tour de Ski. And if there wasn't a Tour de Ski, her international season is done.
Mm.
And she's unhappy with it. She doesn't like it, but she you know, it's just like rolling the dice, and you get one roll, and that's all you get, and it's just not enough.
Right, for sure, and I know she had a great result. She was 29th, I think, in the sprint, or you know, which is a good to you know, be in the top 30. And I know she was so excited about going over for her debut. So, it is right for the, what you say, that the opportunities, there are not a lot of opportunities, but it's great that Ski Tour Canada is going to be here, so she's going to get another crack at towing the line with some of the best in the world, eh?
Yeah.
So at this time, Jack, when you look back, are there any special sort of situations or events or things that stand out for you? Obviously, you've done quite a bit. You've been involved with hardware for a long time. And is there something that any events or you know, situations that stand out for you when you look back at your career?
Well, moving backwards, the Pan Am Games this past summer were amazing, and it was like a perfect storm. Everything worked perfectly, up to and including having Canadian winners on both the men's and women's side, and that was, I was really proud of my staff. I was really proud of everybody involved with Hardwood, with the OCA, and Cycling Canada, and the whole Pan Am Games committee, just for all the great work that everybody did. You know, I think that was, in my time with Hardwood, certainly one of the biggest things that we had done. Hardwood is a, you know, there's a whole bunch of days. Like this past Family Day, man, a big highlight. We had 1,100 people there. We had 375 people who didn't own skis come and ski at Hardwood on Monday, which is fantastic. Lots of families. That's what we're trying to do there. In my own career, I would say, in 2008, when we took over Hardwood, we thought that Hardwood was going to be dead, and there wasn't going to be a place. And one of the main reasons why we started and we put together the investment group, because everybody that we talked to wanted to keep Hardwood alive, and we did that. And my main goal then was to leave Hardwood better than I found it, and I think that we've done that. And you know, I'm not retiring until October. I'm involved in the succession planning, and I want to make sure that we hire whoever we hire. Could be someone on our staff or could be someone outside, has the opportunity to do what I did, to take it and make it better than they found it, so that it continues to grow and continues to get better, because I'm going to keep skiing there. I'm going to keep coaching there. I want the trails to be as good or better than they are right now. So that's kind of the goal going forward. If I go back to my cross-country ski coaching career, the highlight for me, without question, and something that I think about quite a bit, was 1989 at the World Junior Championships in Hamar in Norway, and having Marie-José Pepin win a silver medal. I had worked with Marie-José for 4 years on a full-time basis, and I can remember when she came across the line and she saw me after the cross the line, she gave me a big hug and said, "We did it." And that will stay with me forever, because you know, that really was a validation of what I was trying to do, who she was and what she was trying to do, and I really feel very good about that. That was probably my best year in coaching, because you know, at the World Championships, I was also working with seniors, and I had a lot of seniors in the top 25. So for me, that would probably have been my highlight of my career as a coach.
Absolutely. Sounds like a magic moment.
Oh, and I will say one more thing. When Becky Scott crossed the line and won the medal in Salt Lake City in 2002, that was another one where if you had told me up until then that Canada was going to win medals in cross-country skiing, I would have said I would never see the day. And for me, one of the things you try to do when you're the analyst is shut up when people are coming across the line and you let the play-by-play person take the skiers across the line. But when Becky crossed the line, I yelled, "She did it!" And Becky says she still, when she listens to that, she still feels the same emotion that I had when Becky did that. And then, of course, Scott asked me to talk after that, and I couldn't because I was crying. And incidentally, the same thing happened again when Chandra Crawford, another athlete that I worked with, won a gold medal in 2006.
Sure.
We called the race, and at the end, I was supposed to talk about it and do my analysis, and I couldn't because I was crying again. And Scott had to do the analysis because I couldn't talk. So those are all real big highlights for
me. There you go. So there's some real emotional moments in your career. And of course, I remember talking with Chandra and watching her talk about that race at one of her TED Talks and just feeling the emotion from it still living strong. So I'm sure for you it's still very, very vivid in your memory, all those special times in your career. Well, Jack, thank you so much for taking time with us and telling us about how things got started and some of the special moments along the way. We certainly look forward to seeing you at Harwood on your bike or on the skis or even on the golf course and finding out how things evolve for you going forward. Thanks again for your time and all the best in your retirement.
Thanks, Benjamin.